Hallelujah.
Praise God, we need that.
I was saying that with everything that's happened during the week, sometimes we don't have that space really with brothers and sisters to come into God's presence. But on a Sunday like this, it's an opportunity for all of us.
Amen.
To stand each other with each other holding hands and to approach God's presence.
Yeah.
And just to enjoy His presence.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know, I always say to myself, there is 1,000 things that I can do on a Sunday. But if I decide to spend it in God's presence, then I want that special time to be special. I want to give my best to the Lord.
Amen.
I don't want to miss my service. I want to give my best.
Amen.
Because that's my time. Hallelujah. That's a space for us to express ourselves and to express our love for God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There is a whole old-fashioned song that I love a lot. If you've been attending Sunday schools, you'll remember that one. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice.
And be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day
that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in Him. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has. Come on, hey, hey. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in Him, and be glad. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now I'm convinced that you've been attending Sunday schools. Hallelujah. Father, we give you glory.
Amen.
We give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Take control of everything, Lord.
Amen.
May I disappear and may you take control, oh Lord. May you run this moment. May you be so mighty among this place, Father God. May you, O Lord, minister to each one of us.
Amen.
May the Holy Spirit, Father God, minister to each one of us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Really happy to be here. Thank you, Pastor Andrew, for having me. Always a pleasure to come here and to fellowship with you guys. Hallelujah. It's been quite a while since I was here. And I want straight away to go to the Word of God. And I want to take you to the book of Acts. To the book of Acts. I'm not intending to be speaking for long. What I have to speak, I don't think I need much time to say it. But the Lord will help us to deliver what He has put in our heart. In Acts chapter 16. Book of Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. The verse that will interest us is the verse 28. But however, I want us to start from verse 16 so we can have a bigger picture of the text. You know, the more verse you read in a scripture, the better chance you have to remain in the context. You know, when you just isolate a verse, you are more likely to miss the context. So let's go back and read the story from verse 16. The Bible says, by now I'm sure you should be used to my African accent. Hallelujah. The Bible says, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling.
This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her."
Amen.
At that moment, the spirit left her.
Yeah.
When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrate and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they have been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stock. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Well, they were nowhere to go. They had no choice than to listen to. 26, suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison was shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chain came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoner has escaped. But Paul, and this is the verse that concerned us, but Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are whole here."
Woo!
Don't harm yourself. We are whole here. The jailer called for light, rushing and fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and then brought them out and asked, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And verse 31, which is one of the most popular verses in the Bible, they reply, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your family." Amen.
Amen.
Don't harm yourself. We are whole here. This is the theme of my exhortation this morning.
Amen.
Don't harm yourself. We are whole here. Don't kill yourself. We are here.
Amen.
Don't give hope. We are here. Don't worry, you'll be fine. We are still here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. This is a wonderful story. A story that you probably came across. I want to take you back to the story, the background of the story. Chapter 15, because this is chapter 16. Chapter 15, what happened is the conference at Jerusalem, the council at Jerusalem, the very first major convention of Christians in the New Testament after resurrection. Hallelujah. Because what happened is after the disciple, after the apostle began to preach and to minister and to bring people to the Christian faith, some false prophet came and started to bring Judaism among Christians. So it created a lot of confusion. Amen. A lot of new Christians were required to circumcise themselves and to go into Jewish customs.
Yeah.
So a lot of confusion came around. So they decided to gather together as a church and to decide about those things, to discuss about those things. And Paul went to the conference to make a case for the Gentile. To make a case that the Lord is moving not just among Jews, but also among the Gentiles. The Lord is baptizing them with the Spirit. The Lord is sharing compassion and love with the Gentiles. Amen.
Yeah.
And Paul actually won a victory in that conference because they agreed to extend the door to the Gentiles as well, to give them more freedom and more opportunity to minister and to be a blessing to the church. Hallelujah. So on their way back, coming from Jerusalem, Paul was commissioned to go with Silas and to minister among the Gentiles. And the Lord came in a dream and showed Paul where to go. He says, "Go to this city." So Paul came to Macedonia, and then he went to Philippi, to the city of Philippi. And as he was walking and preaching the gospel, a slave girl came and And she was actually predicting the future. She was a storyteller. And she became to tell story and to say, these men are men of God. Hallelujah. This is free advertising. You know, nowadays advertising is quite expensive. You need to pay a lot to be on social network, to be on a TV. But this girl was doing a free advertisement for Paul. At some point, Paul became really annoyed. Amen. You know, sometimes people can be talking good about you, but they have an agenda beyond. They have an agenda beyond. Because for that slave girl, it was a business. She was actually slave. Not only slave of people, but she was also slave of the demons. Because she was possessed by demons. Hallelujah. Slave by people, but also slave of demons. And she was used. They were using her to bring money, to tell stories so she can bring money. But the Spirit of the Lord actually touched Paul, and Paul realized that this wasn't from God. Hallelujah. We still need those kind of attitude among Christians today. Hallelujah. We still need those kind of attitude. When they realize that people are using the name of the Lord to fulfill their own agenda, we need to cast out those demons. We need to separate from that agenda. Hallelujah. When people are singing praises, but with an agenda behind. Hallelujah. So Paul separates himself from that agenda. And he casts out the demons. He casts out the demons. You know, let me open a small thing about casting out demons. You know, it is our mandate to cast out demons. Hallelujah. It is our mandate to cast out demons. Listen, there are people out there whose issues will be dealt only when demons are cast out. Hallelujah. There are people out there who are suffering because they are slaves. They are being kept captive by the devil. Hallelujah. They are being kept captive by the devil. My brother just shared a fantastic testimony of drug addiction. There are people out there who cannot free themselves. Hallelujah. It's not good enough to say, you'll be okay, take it easy. He can't take it easy. He can't take it easy. Hallelujah. Yeah. Something must happen. An earthquake must happen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody needs to do something for people to be set up free. Yeah. Hallelujah. There is a story in Luke chapter 13. The Bible talks about a woman that was kept in infirmity for a long time. And the Bible says for 28 years because she was under the band of Satan. I want us to read it. I want us to read it. Luke 13. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Is somebody being blessed so far?
Amen.
Glory be to God. Luke 13, from verse 10, the Bible says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. The Bible says it was by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straight up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, you hypocrite, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and deal it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day? Hallelujah.
Amen.
She was kept bound by the devil.
Yeah.
And a demon needed to be cast out for that woman to be free. Hallelujah. And this is our mandate. Because the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captive free. Hallelujah. So what happened is, when she was delivered from those demons, she stopped doing what she was doing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
She stopped telling story and making money.
Amen.
So the owner's business were affected. The income wasn't coming as it used to. So there were a problem. And they decided to take it on Paul, because it was because of Paul that that woman's business was destroyed. Amen. And they take Paul to the courts, to the magistrate. And then Paul and Silas was put in prison for doing the work of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Put in prison for doing the work of God. You know, they had all the reason to complain to God. They had all the reason to say to God, "What are you doing? We are here struggling, working for you." Amen. "We have given up everything. We have given up our job. We have given up our families to follow you. But why this must happen to me?" Don't you often ask yourself those questions? Why me? Yeah. Hallelujah. Why me? What? Why? I don't deserve this. Lord, why me? Hallelujah. I am serving you. I'm in the will of God. Why this is happening to me? They had all the reason to complain. Yeah. But you guess what? They chose to praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They choose to praise. Yeah. So many things to complain about today. Mm-hmm. You know, when the world is complaining, so often we join them in their song and we complain. We complain about the economy. There is recession. We complain about recession. Schools are closing. We complain about everything. What's happening to this world? We're complaining that there is no future. We're complaining that things are getting bad. We're complaining that we are in a hospital bed. We're complaining we have lost my job. I've lost this. I've lost that. So many reasons to complain about. But the Lord is looking for people who move from being a complainer to people who are praising God.
Amen.
People who decide to put praise in front. Hallelujah. You have the reason to complain, but you can choose not to complain. You can choose not to complain. Hallelujah. Those are the worshipers that the Lord is looking for. Hallelujah. So many things to complain about, but they decided in the jail. You know, actually they transformed a jail to a mini church. And they started to praise. And they started to worship. And everybody was listening to them. Hallelujah. Praise. This is what we should all be about. Praise. We should change our language. We shouldn't be using the same language as the world. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind."
Amen.
We don't have to see things the same way as the world sees things. Hallelujah. When things are going bad in the world, we should stand up and say, "Maranatha, the Lord is coming."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Maranatha, God's plans is on the move. God is working in the universe.
Amen.
When things are being shaken around us, we should say, "Oh yes, the Lord has told us about those things. Praise the name of the living God." Hallelujah. I see often people complain even about church. They complain about what's happening in the church nowadays. We don't have to complain. We should just praise the Lord and say, "Lord, whatever you say will happen is happening. Your plan is working. Thank you, Lord, because you are in control of everything."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Moving from a complainer to a praiser. Is it an English word? A praiser?
Yeah.
Moving from a complainer to a praiser. Transforming things around us. I'm guessing the other prisoner were looking at Paul in silence. They say, "You guys, are you crazy?" Hallelujah. You know what? People should be passing there and say, "Are those people mad? This is what the church should be all about." People should be passing one day and say, "What are they doing inside there? Are they crazy? Why are they so happy and rejoicing and jumping?" This is why when I'm in church, I like to express my joy. I like to jump and to sing and to shout. Hallelujah. I like to praise God aloud and say, "Yes, my Lord is alive." I like to sing and to release the glory to God. So that people outside will look and say, "Are they crazy?" Hallelujah. This is what happened in the Pentecost days. People were passing by and say, "Are you guys, are you drunk? What are you taking those days? Are you drunk? And they say, no, it's the fulfilling of the word of God. We are not drunk. No. Hallelujah. The reason why we don't have to complain is because we are promoting a new government which is to come. We are promoting a kingdom that is to come. Amen. So we are telling to the world, we are not controlled by this system. We are not controlled by this present century. We are not controlled by politics and by economy. We belong to a different government. And we are promoting that government. It is coming. That government is coming. God is the ruler of that government. And we are just the premise. We are ourselves a message to the world. So when the world see our joy, when they see our confidence, as the brother say, our confidence to the Lord, when they see our conviction to the Lord, and they begin to wonder, and they say, maybe there is something in there. And maybe there is something in there. We become, because praise is contagious, we become to influence people around us. This what was happening in the prison cell that day. A church was born in that prison. Hallelujah. Amen. God is expecting us to be joyful and to show to the world that we are not controlled by the system. Hallelujah. We live by the word of God. Our mind is renewed. We know what is happening. We know the plan of God. We know God has a plan and is in control of that plan. So we don't worry about losing a job today. We don't worry about being in a hospital sick, in a hospital bed. We don't worry about those things because we know that God's plan is greater and the enemy cannot stop that plan. No. He cannot stop that plan. Hallelujah. The Bible says even death cannot separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. God likes the sound of worship and the sound of praise. This is why on a Sunday like this, we should be jumping and shouting and crying aloud and say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Giving the praise, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. You know when the children of Israel set up from Egypt in the wilderness, as they were walking, they were complaining a lot. Say, you know, the food is not even great. In Egypt, we used to have the best salad. In this wilderness, there's no cucumber. There's no tomato in the salad. I don't like it. They used to complain about everything. Hallelujah. The food not being enough, not being of good quality, complaining about leadership, hallelujah. And those things actually cost them their life. Yeah. That generation never made it to the promised land. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But when they arrive at Sinai, the Lord gave the commandment to Moses, and then he told them after a while, you have dwelt long enough here. I want you to set up now for the journey. But he made sure to tell Moses how they will walk from now on. He says, I want you to put Judah in front. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you go to number chapter 10, you'll find it. He told them, you have to set up and put Judah in front. Yeah. Because from now on, I want the first things to come from you to be praise. Hallelujah. Because Judah means praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Judah means praise. The Bible says, the Lord inhabits in the praises of his people. Among the praises of his people. That is Judah. Judah is the meaning of praise. So Lord say, you put Judah in front and then Issachar will come along and he set up how they should be working from now on. Because what the Lord wanted is the people will be in front to be praising God. No matter what they will see in front, the first things that will come will be praise. And the rest will just pick up from that. And praises was contagious. So everybody was in the midst of singing song and praising the name of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. This is what this is about. It is about worshiping God, praising the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54 says something. Isaiah 54. Something interesting about praise. Isaiah 54. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54, first verse. Sing, O barren woman, who you were never born a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Hallelujah. Barrenness and song of joy. It doesn't match up, does it? The Lord say, sing, O barren woman. Sing, you who have no job. Sing, you who are in a hospital bed. Sing, you who have just lost everything. Sing. The very first thing to do, sing. Just release praises and worship to God. Hallelujah. Release praises and worship to God. You know, when you do that, you undermine the enemy, the possibility to control you and to control your mindset. Hallelujah. You are telling to the devil, you can take away my job. You can take away my money. But one thing you never take away from me is my praise. You can never control that from me. Hallelujah. That's the one thing you can never control. I will praise the Lord no matter what.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As long as you do that, you actually undermine to the enemy the opportunity to control you. And you are telling him, I'm not under your rule. You might be ruling over this society. You might be ruling over the present century, but I'm not part of your kingdom. I belong to the Almighty God. So I will sing no matter what. Yeah. Hallelujah. We should be a joyful church.
Yes.
We should be a church that sings songs.
Amen.
No matter what. That's why I'm happy to come on a Sunday. Because I know I will sing song.
Amen.
And I'll praise the name of the Almighty God. I'll forget about whatever happened during the week. I'll say to the devil, you know what? I forget about everything that happened yesterday and during the week. I'll just concentrate on work, on praising the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Sometimes at work, your colleague are treating you really badly. They're bullying you. Just sing songs, you know. They won't understand you. Why this guy? We try everything to bully him. He's just singing. He's singing song. Hallelujah. It's a way to say, listen, guys, you should try harder. Because actually, I belong to a different kind of government. Hallelujah. God is in control in our life. And we should be singing, praising the name of the Almighty God. Praise God when you are walking. Praise God when you are in shower. Praise God at work. Praise God all the time. And this is what Paul and Silas did in the midst of the prison. You remember Jericho? You remember Jericho? Hallelujah. It was through songs and worship that the wall of Jericho was taken down. Hallelujah. So Paul and Silas decided not to complain. Not to say, oh Lord, we've been working for you, but you haven't kept your word. We are so tired now. I should never come to ministry. I should never do ministry. No, they decided just to sing and to praise. Hallelujah. And as they were singing and praising, something happened. The Bible says a earthquake happened. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we try to spiritualize things, but in reality, the earthquake did happen physically.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. An earthquake happened, and the prison was shaking. Everything was shaking. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Everything was shaking. I'm trying to imagine those prisoners who were there. We don't know what they did to be in prison. They were there. Some, you know, when you are free, you are too busy to go to church, too busy to listen to God. But when you are in prison,
yeah,
you're going nowhere.
Yeah.
And you go all the time of the word. Sometimes the Lord will put some people into an inner cell,
yeah,
so that he will minister to them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people are too busy moving around. They don't want to give their time to the Lord. And the Lord will sometimes take you to an inner cell.
Yeah.
Take you where people are struggling. Take you where people are desperate so that you can minister to them. Because the Lord wants to reach out to them. Hallelujah. And the earthquake happened. Everything was shaking about around them. Hallelujah. We need another earthquake today. We need another earthquake. We need earthquakes to happen in our churches.
Amen.
We need things to be shaking around. Listen, there are so many issues out there. People are struggling out there. So when they come to the Lord, they need an earthquake. They need something to happen in their life. They need the chain to be broken. Hallelujah. We cannot afford to miss earthquake in our Christian life. We cannot afford. Otherwise, we'll have nothing to give to the people out there. We'll have nothing to give out there.
Yeah.
We are safe. Yes, bless the name of the living God. But there are people out there who can only be safe when an earthquake will happen.
Yeah.
This is why in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, a sudden and violent wind flew into the place where they were praying. And people who were around asked themselves, what is this? And they came around and Peter ministered to them. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The church should be about bringing earthquake. We should be bringing life into people's, hallelujah, life. Into people's families. Families are broken out there. Young people are broken out there. No hope. We should bring an earthquake. Hallelujah. This is our mission. But all we need to do is to keep praising God.
Yeah.
Is to keep praising God. No matter what's happening. Is to keep giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Is to bless the name of the living God. Verse 26 says that the prison door flew open and the chains came loose. Amen. And that was at midnight. The Bible says, at midnight. Really, when darkness has taken over, there, in the midst of praise and worship, an earthquake happened and chain came loose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is our mandate, is to set people free. You know, most of the time, We talk about ourselves to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Hallelujah. And we do need that. Amen.
Amen.
And you for some of you who have been following some of my preaching here, you've noticed that I often talk about, you know, hope and encouragement. But sometimes we need to look at the world out there. Sometimes we need to look at what is happening out there. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What the Lord wants us to do for them, for people out there. That day, Paul and Silas, it wasn't about them. They forgot about their own issue. And they were just praising and shouting the name of the living God. Hallelujah. And the chains came loose. Not just Paul and Silas. Everybody else surrounded and connected to them were free. People were free because of the earthquake that happened. Oh God, I pray that an earthquake might happen again. An earthquake might happen again. That we might pay the price for revival. That we might pay the price for things to be shaking around.
Yeah.
We might pay the price and decide not to be ordinary Christian, but to be extraordinary.
Yeah.
To pay the price, to go the extra mile. To pay the price for supernatural things to happen in our Christian way of living. Hallelujah. So that people out there can be free. And that day, the person who was in charge of the prison, the jailer, as they call him, decided to kill himself. Because he knew what will happen to him once all the prisoners are released. I mean, once all the prisoners escape, he will be put to jail himself. And you know, he knew best how hard it is to be a prison. Because all his life, he spent it in putting people in prison and keeping them in prison. So he knew how miserable it is to be in a prison. And he said, no, I can't spend the rest of my life as a slave. Because you know the Roman structure or the Roman army was very demanding. They never tolerate failure. If you were a general in the Roman army at the time, and you go into battle, if you lose a battle, they'll put you into a cage to be eaten by lions. You cannot afford to lose. I've been reading a commentary when they suggested that when a Roman general was going into battle, as soon as they cross the sea, he makes sure they destroy the ship. And that was a message to his soldiers. There is no way back unless we win this battle. So if we don't win the battle, we cannot go back home. We only have one option if we want to go back home, is to win. Because the general knew, if I run away from the battlefield, I will be put to death. So he was putting pressure on the soldier. As soon as they crossed the sea and came to the enemy land, he destroyed the ship. And he said, listen guys, any one of you who had a thought of running away, there is no chance. I just destroyed the ship. So we have to win the battle. That's how demanding the Romans were. So that Roman officer knew he was in trouble because he released or under his care, the prisoner that was put under his care. But can you imagine? Paul and Silas were put not in the main prison, but the Bible says in the inner prison, inside. Not only he was put inside, they even put them with chains. They were in the cell, also chained. So he took all the necessary precautions to make sure they don't escape. Unfortunately, the power of praise and worship took everything out. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said to himself, I'll give myself death. I better die because there is no hope for me. I can't see life. And Paul came and said, and this is my message for you this morning, don't kill yourself. We are still here. Amen. Hallelujah. There is somebody out there who has no hope. There is somebody out there who don't see the point of continuing his life as it is. We should be there for them. And to tell them, don't kill yourself. We are here. We know what you need. You need Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We should come to people and touch them and say, don't kill yourself. We are still here. We can bring you Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There are people out there who are killing themselves with drugs.
Yeah.
Killing themselves with alcohol. Killing themselves. Family have been broken. Everything is up and down. There is no hope. And people are actually giving themselves death. We're living in a suicidal society. Sometimes I read in the news and I'm young people, they kill 200-300 people before they give themselves death. I'm like, what is happening to this world? People are so desperate. People are in the midst of a despair, in total darkness. People are in a jail at midnight and they see their life. They say, wow, I will spend the rest of my life here. I don't see the point anymore. But we are still here. And this is our mission.
Amen.
We are here because we have a mission to go to people and to tell them there is hope.
Amen.
There is hope. You will not die. Hallelujah. You will not spend the rest of your life in prison. There is hope. You can overcome that addiction. You can overcome that situation. You can come out of that issue. We are here for you.
Yeah.
We are here. Hallelujah. This is our mission. And by the way, this is the only reason why the Lord has decided to keep us on earth.
Amen.
Because we are part of his plan to rescue the whole humanity.
Amen.
So the what the Lord is asking us to do is say, don't complain about your issue. Just leave it to me. You just go out there and tell people, it shall be well with you.
Amen.
Come to Jesus. You and your household will be saved.
Amen.
You will be saved for the rest of your life. Don't worry. Tonight you will see your daughter. You go back to your family tonight. Nothing will happen to you. This is what people want to hear. Hallelujah. The world is stumbling. The world is suicidal today. And we need people to go and tell people up there, don't kill yourself. We are here. But my question, are you really there? Are you really there? The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, I look for someone among them who will build up a wall and stand in a gap. Are you there to stand in a gap? This is what the Lord is looking for. I like what Bishop said. He said, when you are praying, don't come just with a long shopping list. God is looking for somebody who will come as a volunteer and say, God, I want to stand in a gap. Amen. I want to stand in a gap. I want you to use me to give hope to people out there. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the great mission. This is our commission. We have been commissioned to stand in a gap for people and to tell them there is hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just about ours coming to a place of, you know, fulfillment, coming to a place of blessing, you know, being blessed and being fulfilled and our needs being met by the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. But it's not all about that. It's about us staying in the gap and say, Lord, use me as I am. Use me as I am. With everything I have, I want to serve you. Hallelujah. No matter what's happening in my life, I don't live for myself anymore. I live for you. And I want you to use me. If somebody's being blessed today, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you there for people out there? Yeah. Harvestfield Church, are we there for people in Doncaster? Are we there for them? Amen. To minister to them and to bring them to the Lord, to give them hope. Hallelujah. But there is two elements that is needed, and this is where I will close. There are many characteristics that we need to be effective and set people free. Amen. But I want to focus on two particularly this morning, this afternoon. You know, I usually preach in the morning. So, and I want to take you to Acts chapter 3. Don't kill yourself. We are there. Don't despair. We are there. We are there. I think it is time that we reclaim our position of being the light of the world.
Amen.
We reclaim our position of being the salt of the world. Hallelujah. I want to take you to Acts chapter 3. There is two elements that we need to be effective in setting people free. I call those two characteristics Peter and John. We need Peter and John. Amen. We need to be Peter, and we need to be John. And I will explain that. Acts chapter 3, the Bible says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at a time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon, now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate, called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple court. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him and said, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. Hallelujah. Peter and John. Let me take you through who Peter is and who John is. You know probably the story of Peter and John as they were walking in the temple. They came across this person and they ministered to him for his miracle. Peter was somebody, I'll call him a man of action. Amen. Yeah. If you read through the Bible, you'll see Peter was somebody of action. First one to give the promise to the Lord. He said, Lord, if they want to kill you, they have to kill me first. I'll go with you wherever. And guess what? The day they came to arrest Jesus, Peter was there with his sword. A man of action. Ready to take action. Hallelujah. This is Peter. A man of initiative. Somebody you can rely on to take action. Yeah. If you want something done, call Peter. Hallelujah. If you want something done, called Peter. He was a man of action, of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of determination. Somebody with a desire to be useful, all the time, available to be useful. But most of the time, by his action, he was doing that with his own initiative. But he's strong and is willing to work for God. Hallelujah. This is Peter. For me, Peter is symbolizing power. Amen. He's symbolizing power. But sometimes that power is out of control. But it's symbolizing power. First thing we need to set people free is power. And I say amen.
Amen.
Without power, nothing will happen. We cannot set people free without power. Amen.
Amen.
But look at John. The nickname of John was the disciple that the Lord loves. He was like a lamb. Really sweet. He was really quiet. And he's the only disciple who was allowed to put his head on Jesus' chest. He symbolized love. And if you read all the letters of John, it's about love. He talks a lot about love. Amen. For me, he represents compassion. Hallelujah. It's all about compassion. So that day, as Peter and John was walking to the temple, it was a combination of power and compassion, walking hand in hand. I think this is the key for miracle to happen. The key is compassion, and the key is power. If we have compassion for those who are out there, and if we have the power, then miracle will happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If we only have power, but without compassion, we will use that power to fulfill our own agenda. We will use that power. And I think this is what's happening in churches today. We're using power. We're using energy. We're using initiative. We're using a lot of determination, available, doing a lot of things. But sometimes, not listening to really what the Lord wants. And we're using it to fulfill our own agenda. With the desire to be useful, but out of the context. Amen. Then on the other side, you have another kind of ministry where there is a lot of compassion and a lot of love. But nothing is happening because nothing is taking the lead and doing something. Hallelujah. So love and compassion alone cannot set people free. Power alone cannot set people free. We need both combinations. We need both to work together. And in end, then we can go to the prison cell and say to people, don't kill yourself. We have what you need.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we can set you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We need that love and we need that power.
Amen.
If we lack any of that, we will not be effective. Hallelujah. We will not be effective. Peter represents power and John represents compassion. And this is the key that is missing in church. The combination of power and compassion working together to set people free. Hallelujah. In that verse that we read in Luke chapter 13, when we talk about that woman who was in infirmity for 28 years, you know what? People around her could sympathize for her, but they couldn't do anything because there were no power. But they could sympathize for her. But when Peter and John, when Jesus came, he reached out to the woman. Not only he sympathized for her, but he didn't stop there. He also did something.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says in Isaiah 59, verse 1, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save,
Amen.
Nor is he too dear to hear.
Amen.
So the Lord can hear our cry, and he can feel compassion. But guess what? He also has a powerful hand. So he can straighten his hand and take us out of our situation. Those two things are important. To feel compassion. And those were the two elements of Jesus' ministry. Compassion and power working together. And this is what Harvestfield need. This is what Christians need. This is what the generation need. Raising compassion for the soul. Raising compassion for God. The love of God overflowing our heart. Listening to the heart of God. What really the Lord wants. And putting our strength together to make it happen. Hallelujah. To make it happen. This is our great calling. This is our great calling. There is an anointing to set people free. There is an anointing to break limitation. Amen. Amen. There is an anointing to set people free from their shame, free from addiction. There is an anointing to release people from drug addiction. There is an anointing to release people from alcoholism. There is an anointing to stop teenagers messing with their life. There is an anointing to stop even the spirit of suicide among young people. There is an anointing for that. But we need to walk with love, compassion, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Hallelujah. Compassion and love. Power. Working together. And then we can stand in the gap and tell people, we are here. We have what you need. And Paul says it that day. If Paul was going alone into that temple, Peter, if he was walking alone, I'm sure he would have passed by. He would have been so focused about worshiping God, he would have missed that crippler. Amen. And if John was walking alone, he would have sympathized and probably give him some money. But that person didn't need money. He always been given money, but money never solved his problem. He needed more than money. Amen. And you know what? The world has no compassion for those who are struggling. You know, they were taking that person, put him in the temple so he can beg, and they were coming at night to take him back. This is what the world does. They use people's issue. They use people's situation to fulfill their own agenda. Yeah. You know, sometimes I listen to the news where politicians are fighting each other, making a cause for people in society, making the cause for single mother, making the cause for young people, making the cause for the unemployed. And you might feel they really care. Sometimes they are looking an opportunity to fulfill their political agenda, but they are using people issues. Hallelujah. Especially if you work in the public sector, you see a lot of that. You see how people issues are just statistics and numbers to help them secure a budget, to help them shift a certain government priority into another one. They are just taking you out there so for people to care and to have compassion and to give something. At nine, they will take you back. But actually, they're using your issue for them to make a cause for themselves. Hallelujah. But the church should not use people's issue. The church will come and set people free. Hallelujah. And this is the message I had for you today. I wanted to encourage you and myself to go back to the Lord, to go back to basic, and to say to the Lord, we need your power once again. We need the Holy Spirit to visit us once again. We need the angel of God to visit us once again so we can receive the anointing to set people free. And we need that love to overflow in our heart. And then we can go out there and tell people, do not kill yourself. Do yourself no harm. We are here. We are here with Jesus. What happened that day? That officer received the Lord Jesus. And his life changed for good. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't die. He saw his daughter and probably his granddaughter. He lived longer because that day he was visited by the Lord. But he needed somebody to keep praising no matter what was happening. He needed somebody to forget about his situation. And to keep praising, no matter what was happening. You know, when Jesus entered into somebody's life, the life of that person changed for good. You are here because you've been visited by Jesus. Amen. Probably many years ago, but you keep going. You keep going. And by the grace of God, you go until you finish the race. Amen. In the Lord Jesus. Amen. And you know why we put our life in order? You know, I live alone in a flat. And
Sometimes when I go to work, I don't have time to do the dishes or to over the. I just go, and I say, I'll do it later. But if I'm receiving a guest, I'll make sure my house is clean. Before I set up, I'll clean everything. Why? I'm receiving a guest. So when Jesus enters into somebody's life, that person will clean his house. He will clean their house because he's receiving an important guest. This is what we should be about. Bringing an important guest into somebody's life and telling him, your life will never be the same. Praise the name of the living God. Shall we clap the word of God? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen. Let somebody be blessed today. I promise not to be long, but I'm not sure I kept my promise. Hallelujah. I just want one more minute from you. I just want you to start praying right now. I don't know what the Lord has put into your heart as I was releasing the word of God. But I want you to feel free now to speak to the Lord. Whatever prayer comes from your heart right now. Maybe for a long time you really never connected to the Almighty God. Maybe you're coming to church and you are not sure you're really connected with Jesus. This is an opportunity for you to put your house in order so that Jesus can change your life. Maybe you are going through a challenging situation and none of us will understand you. Yeah, people will never understand what you're going through. Even Jesus, when he was going through difficulties, he took with him 3 of his disciples to go and pray with him. But they slept. They slept. They didn't understand what he was going through. Men will never understand what you're going through. But the Lord knows. And maybe you've been complaining quite a lot. And you are so right to complain because of what's happening. But you can choose something different today. You can just bless the name of the living God. And said to the Lord Almighty, I praise you for everything. Amen. I praise you for everything that is happening to me. Amen. Even what I've got, I didn't deserve it. I praise you, Lord. I just want to be useful. Amen. I don't know what is in your mind right now. Maybe you feel like you have lost a visitation of God. You have lost that spirit upon your heart. Just release yourself in prayer. In the name of Jesus, let us pray. Rabba, baba, basha, rabba, baba. Rondo barashele bere sikaya baba. Roto maya barashele bere be ya baranda bashara baba baba. Roma ya barashere bere 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 be ya barashakara baba. Roma maya barasata baba baba baba. Rendere be ya barashele bere sika baba baba. Lord, in the name of Jesus, visit us again. In the name of Jesus, Lord, visit us again. So we can be an instrument to give hope to people, so we can be a channel of salvation, so we can be channels of blessing for people out there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you might fill us with your spirit, that you might anoint us with the spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, so that we can speak on your behalf, so that we can speak on your behalf, so that we can stand in the gap and be a blessing. Father, use us for the salvation of many, use us for the deliverance of many, in the name of Jesus. Use us, oh Lord, to reach out to young people, use us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and may your love grow in our heart so that we will focus on what you want, on your will. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. God bless you.